Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please be seated. That is one of those hymns that you need to hear played in the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany, folks. It ramps up there with the other great hymns of Lutheranism, like a mighty fortress. And to hear it played in one of those places is just majestic. There are some of these hymns we could actually play with the piano, but that is one you've got to play with the organ, or you just don't get it. So I love to hear it. We're going to talk about the Sabbath day today. We're going to talk about the Old Testament text. But you know, every day seems to have its own personality, doesn't it? There have been songs written about Monday. One that comes to my mind, and maybe I'm dating myself, is by the Mamas and the Papas called Monday, Monday. Some of you may have heard a song called Blue Monday by Fats Domino. When I think of Tuesday, I think of how that typically was the slowest day in the restaurant business back when I was doing waitering and busboy work. Wednesday, what do we call Wednesday? Hump Day, right? You're going over the hump, you're headed for Friday. Thursday, I'm not sure what I think of when I think of Thursday. But I know Friday, we even have acronyms and restaurants named after Friday, right? TGIF, thank goodness it's Friday. And Saturday, what I remember about Saturday is my dad would always get up early on Saturday, even though he wasn't working. And he would always tell us, this is my day to do what I want. And he'd be out in the garage on some project working on it or something like that. What about Sunday, though? The day we typically gather as God's people. What kind of a meaning or purpose does it have? What is Sunday? I mean, we know the classic answer. We know why we're here, but let's think about it. The Sabbath day we call Sunday today, but the word Sabbath day is typically a day of what? Rest and gladness. You got it. Rest means to stop working. The Hebrew word for Sabbath means literally cessation, or in simple English, to stop. That's what the word Sabbath means. God wanted to give us a rest from what we were doing. The human body simply needs a break once in a while. I remember on a canoe trip with a youth group in the Boundary Waters once how I wanted to prove how tough I was, and I was the hardest paddler for the first 4 days. By the fifth day, my body was broke. And I sat in the middle of the canoe and I rested because I couldn't do it anymore. You know, there's another aspect to the Sabbath, though. There's a community or a communal aspect to the Sabbath as well. Paul says to the Hebrew Christians, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging each other as you see the day growing near. Not neglecting to meet together. Paul sees in the Sabbath day community. Luke tells us in Acts 2:46 that the early Christians did what? They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Once again, fellowship. Fellowship can only be done with other people. Jesus says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. Once again, fellowship. Two or more. The fact is, when we become Christians, we are called into the body of Christ. We are called into a community. Let's talk a little bit about the history of the Sabbath. Sabbath history. The Sabbath day originally started out when? It was the seventh day of creation. And believe it or not, it was only meant for rest. With Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, that was only a day of rest. Now, it doesn't mean they weren't having a relationship with God, because they were constantly in a relationship with God. It was only later that God, after Adam and Eve fell into sin, added the dimension of community and hearing the word of God and worship. That happened after the fall. The fact is that now that we are all sinners, and we are by nature sinners, and we are born sinners, we are not naturally in a relationship with God as Adam and Eve were before the fall. And God only reveals to us his nature through his word. And so we gather together on Sundays to hear the word of God proclaimed, taught, and preached on. The word strengthens us, and it helps us to stay spiritually strong and to share that word with others. But let's move on to the Old Testament history. The Sabbath was that time that God commanded to be kept by the Israelites as a special day of worship. Now, back in those days, the Sabbath started at when? It started at sunset on Friday and continued until sunset on Saturday. And that was actually considered a day. They didn't break out the day from midnight to midnight like we do. They went from sunset to sunset. Leviticus, Moses wrote the book of Leviticus, and he wrote this. He said, "There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly." So, I have heard people try and convince me that the Sabbath is only meant for physical rest. But what we're doing here is we're going through the verses and realizing, no, that is not the case. It has changed since creation. You are not to do any work, whether you live, it is a Sabbath to the Lord. Now, let's go to the New Testament. Actually, Jesus is kind of at the border, isn't he? I mean, he fulfills the Old Testament, and then along with him comes the New Covenant. But he, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. So clearly, Jesus was in the habit himself of gathering with other believers on the Sabbath day in a place of worship, and the Word of God was being read and talked about. Let's move on to the New Testament history. Based on certain New Testament Bible references, we know that we have been released from the requirement to worship specifically on the old classical Friday night to Saturday night Sabbath. We no longer have to choose that day and worship on that day. We moved our Sabbath to Sunday because Sunday is actually the first day of the week, even though, you know, you see calendars now. That, what do they start with? What are they making the week on some calendars? It goes from Saturday, they show it on the calendars they print, to Friday, right? Or something like that, don't they? They're not showing a Sunday to a Saturday week anymore in some calendars. But the week really begins on Sunday. That is the first day of the week, the day when the women went to see about Jesus at the tomb. And they found the empty tomb. We have moved our celebration day, but the pattern of corporate worship and preaching continued. Luke says in the book of Acts, he says, "And Paul went in, as was his custom, on the three Sabbath days, and he reasoned with them from scriptures." So Paul himself, this is New Testament times now, continues this pattern of Sabbath worship and scripture. But let's talk about the future. Something interesting happens in the future. Someday, when we all get to heaven, it's going to be different again. What a lot of people don't realize is that heaven is really a new Eden, a new Garden of Eden. It is not really someplace separate and different, but it's like a return to Eden. It's like we come full circle back to the way the world was supposed to be before Adam and Eve fell into sin. And there's a verse here that talks about it. Jeremiah says in chapter 31, "And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." So from these words, what we will see will happen in heaven one day is, guess what? If I take this correctly, because we will be in a right relationship with the Lord all the time, and we will know about him all the time, and we will not have to be taught, therefore, there will no longer be a specific day of worship, because it will be happening all throughout the week for us once again in heaven. Now, let's move on to sins against the Sabbath. I call them excuses and abuses. What is the Sabbath like today for us here? How do we observe it? What are some of the problems we run into? What are some of the stumbling blocks or arguments that people would try and use to convince us that it really isn't all that important? How about the one about personalities? People who refrain from coming to church based on personalities. The church has got too many hypocrites. I can't do that. I can't be there for all those hypocrites. To which, of course, the classic response is, there's always room for one more. Okay? But the truth is that a person who is not of the Christian faith is going to look at it that way. That's a natural way to look at it if you are not a believer. They don't realize that we're here because we see this as a hospital for sinners. That's why we're here. We're here because we need it. We're here not because we think we are righteous, but because we know we are not righteous, but we find our righteousness and forgiveness in Christ. But that is one of the arguments. Then there's the naturalists. I call them the naturalists. They say, I can worship God by myself. I find them best when I'm out in nature or when I'm fishing. And I always wonder what rock they find him under out there, folks. Where's God hiding out there? There's a word for this, by the way. It's called pantheism, the belief that a God inhabits a locale or a inanimate object like a tree or a rock and is then worshipped. That's what I've heard it called. The truth is that you can see God in nature. You can see the beauty of him in nature, and you should respect it. You should admire it. It's great. But the truth is that God comes to us most clearly in the Word of God, the Bible. That is where we meet him most directly. Then there's pastors. Some people don't want to come to church because of the pastor. Maybe they're like the curiosity seekers who came to hear the famous preacher, Henry Ward Beecher, preach at the Plymouth Church in Brooklyn, New York. They arrived to find out that his brother, Thomas K. Beecher, was substituting, and some got up and began to move towards the doors. Sensing their disappointment, Thomas Beecher raised his hand for silence and announced, "All those who came here this morning to worship my brother, Henry Ward Beecher, may withdraw from the church. All the others who came to worship God may remain." I would have liked to have been there for that one. Now, there's also another thing we don't oftentimes think of. Some people try to turn the Sabbath into a work day. This is an interesting way to look at it. Is the Sabbath just another work day? And I'm not talking about the person who always works on the Sabbath day, okay? That's not what I'm talking about here. That's a whole other issue. The Pharisees imagined the Sabbath day was a day to work, to keep the rules and observances by which God would accept them as holy. Some Christians think that our entire Sunday may be filled with spiritual activities to include choir practice, followed by church, followed by Sunday school, and then a Bible study for the adults. By the way, do you know they call it Sunday school for adults in the South? They don't call it Bible study. And then after that, there's a fellowship meal. Then you get to go home for about 3 hours, and you have to come back for evening worship services, okay? And it's just one activity after another, and it's almost like there is no rest. It's all work. By the time they're done with this religious routine, we may be more tired at the end of Sunday than we are at the end of the work week. They feel that all of this properly spiritualizes the Sabbath. They imagine that our prayers, our church attendance, our offerings, our service in the church are what makes us good Christian people. And they could not be more wrong, folks. This is religious pride, and this is also a sin. This attitude poisons our relationship with God. It turns the Sabbath into a work day. It makes God our boss, and we're the employees. Worship becomes our work to appease him. Salvation becomes our paycheck, of which we never quite earn enough. And God actually does condemn this attitude or any attempt to keep the Sabbath day holy by our religious efforts and activities. That's one trap we can fall into. What's the flip side of that? There's a flip side to this whole equation here. Personal downtime. Some people use the Sabbath or Sunday as a chance to sleep in. Skip church. After all, this is the only day I have to sleep or catch up on my sleep. And I'm still thinking to myself, if you don't work on Saturday, what happened there? Or maybe they just cut Sunday school. They send their kids there. Well, they skip out and go for coffee. I've had many Christians tell me that going to church doesn't make you a Christian. And I say, you're right, it doesn't. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. It's something you do because you are a Christian. God makes us Christians. He works through the Word and through the sacraments to bring us to faith and to keep us strong in our faith. God comes into our world in the person of Christ, who obeyed God's law for us and then paid the price for our sins on the cross. And he convicts us of our sins, and he creates faith in our hearts through word and sacraments. It's salvation by grace through faith in Jesus. And here's the real point. And I've struggled with coming to church, and we'll get to that in a bit. And I'm the pastor. Okay? The truth is that we come to church because we get to come to church. Just like giving. You give because you get to give, not because you got to give. You come to church because you get to come, not because you got to come. And The truth is that we are stewards of every single second or minute or hour or day of our lives. Our lives is not our own, it's God's. Our time belongs to God, and we are stewards of that time. And he calls upon us to be wise stewards of that time. And part of that means dedicating time to keep our faith strong by coming to the assembly of Christians and hearing God's word and learning about him and worshiping him. However, it's a matter of balance, folks, and I'm not going to tell you what to do, okay? You've got to let God's Holy Spirit work on your conscience and convict you and guide you. It's a matter of balance between rest and worship and community and rest and the Word of God and rest. And you got to find that balance. I will tell you, I'm kind of happy the Lutheran Church doesn't do evening services, because when I was dating a girl back in the days who would belong to a church that did that, I was exhausted by spending almost all my day in church. Okay? I didn't get any rest. It's a matter of balance. God commanded the Israelites to remember his mighty acts of salvation. To remember was to hear God's word, the proclamation of his accomplishment of our salvation. The core to keeping the Sabbath consisted of gladly hearing God's word and learning it. Luther says this in the explanation of the third commandment in the Small Catechism. He says, we must fear and love God so that we will not look down on preaching God's word or God's word, but consider it holy and listen to it willingly and learn it. Folks, the fact is that many of us struggle with church attendance. And before I became a pastor, and before I became going down that road or that track to becoming a pastor, I struggled with it. There was a time after high school when I totally dropped out of church attendance. I had time for college wrestling, and they gave me a scholarship for it. I had time to go work, and I worked on the weekends to make enough money to go to college, but I totally dropped out of going to church for a while there. I don't think it was the right thing to do. We haven't shown any great promise or performed feats that impress our Heavenly Father because we are sinners to merit his ultimate love and sacrifice. Still, our Heavenly Father loves us so much that he sent his only Son into this world to live the righteous life for us, to obey all of God's laws, and Jesus graciously dies for our sins. And so we come to church and we keep the Sabbath and we hear God's word of mercy proclaimed and we receive God's gifts such as Holy Communion. God's command to worship is not his ordering us around like a boss. It's the commandment of the one who with a mighty arm on the cross won salvation and rescued us from our sins and rescued us from death. He is the gracious and merciful God who bestows this salvation on us through his word. Our part is to hear it and to learn it, to believe that our sins are forgiven and that Christ on that cross died for us. To picture what our Sunday worship is like, maybe we can remember different types of feelings that we have. You know, when I was young, I dreaded Sunday because I hadn't done my homework, okay? Even though Mom and Dad were after me to do it. Because I knew that late Sunday night, when everyone else is sitting down to watch The Wonderful World of Disney, I'd probably be sitting down doing my homework until almost bedtime, and then getting to bed late and having to get up and go to school the next day with not enough sleep. That was the Pharisees' picture of the Sabbath also. A day of duty, a day of obligation, and nothing more. But that's not ours. I think the better way to focus and see the Sabbath is more like a different kind of feeling. I think some of you may have experienced also or remember. For example, I remember going to my grandparents' farm for Christmas. Gifts, foods, target practice with our .22 rifle in the grove, riding snowmobiles, which we didn't own, but all the relatives had out there, driving tractors, grandma's unsurpassable cooking and celebration. I think that's the feeling that our worship and our presence in the house of God today should be closer to. It's a joyous time. It's a festive time. It's a time that we enjoy God's grace and his gifts as we gather as a community to hear his word proclaimed. The focus and foundation is on God's work and salvation that we've come to partake of and received. But faith is required. You must believe, right? We must always talk about faith in some form or shape. And it may involve a decision. Later on, halfway through my sophomore year in college, I know this is probably not something you might encourage your children to do, but my wife and I got married. And I relocated to the St. Paul area. As far as Sue's father is concerned, if you lived across the river in Minneapolis, it was like living in another country. So we had to relocate, and it was closer to Concordia College, where I went to college for my last three years. And so I had to go, and I had to look for another job. And some of you have heard this story. I know that. So I had been working at La Hotel Sofitel restaurant at the intersection of 494 and Highway 100 in West Bloomington, Northwest Bloomington. I'd been a waiter there. I'd been a busboy there. So I went up to the Carousel restaurant, which at that time was on the 22nd floor of was at the Intercontinental Hotel in downtown St. Paul. It was that rotating restaurant, and I applied for a job. I was going to get the same kind of job there, and I had some good experience to fall back on. I was sitting outside the door of the guy who was doing the interviews, and this one young man asked him if they had any work, like a busboy or something. He said, no, at this time we don't have any jobs. The young man left the room. I walked in. He pulled my resume out. You worked at La Hotel Sofitel? He didn't ask any questions. He took me straight to the top and said, here's the restaurant. You want a job? No interview. My resume, working at one of the best five-star hotels and restaurants in West Bloomington, spoke for itself. So we walked around, we took a look at the restaurant, and I said, what are the hours? He said, well, you got to work on weekends. I said, Sunday morning? He said, yeah, I'm sorry, but if you want this job, you got to work on Sunday morning. I said, sorry, sir, I can't do that. I turned the job down. After that year, I quit wrestling, and I picked a job where I could be at church on Sunday mornings. And you know, it was difficult to turn that job down. It was difficult to make that decision and put my spiritual life first. But I did it by the grace of God. It was God's power and strength in me that gave me the ability to say no, because folks at a five-star restaurant in Minneapolis or St. Paul, busboys and waiters make very good money in tips. Very good money. But you know, I haven't looked back, and I have no regrets. God daily calls us to a decision to believe in Him. He daily calls us to a decision as to whether or not we're going to worship with His assembly and hear His word proclaimed. You too, if you have not faced the decision, will face it as well. My question to you is, when you're not here on Sunday mornings, are you still attending church with the relatives, wherever they are, Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, wherever you go? If you aren't, it's not too late. God is on guard 24/7 with His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, and His blessings. Let's wrap this up. Every day seems to have its own personality. This is the Lord's Day, the day He gives us and forgives us and stretches out His mighty arm to pour His mercy into us through His holy word, into our hearts and minds. This is a day of rest and gladness. We rest and let God give to us. We are filled with gladness because He is kind and merciful. Let's keep the Sabbath in joy and rejoicing. Let's gladly hear God's word and learn it. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses only our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith to life eternal. Amen.